Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Meltdown. Harmontown is now in session. I'm your little old comptroller, Jeff Davis. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
What a lively crowd. It's not just like eight people that are going to bum everybody else out, right? It's actually a lively crowd. You can never tell from listening. They're like, is there a bachelorette party out there? And everyone else is not actually that excited. It's just Caroline and her friends.
We made them wait. It's eight.
Oh, what? It's a little late.
It's 8:15.
Huh?
We made them wait 7 minutes longer than normal.
And yeah, their 5 hours are kicking in. And okay. Well, I'm glad your energy is up. Mine's a little down. My body's sore. Softball practice started.
Somebody actually did a ha ha ha.
It just registers as a joke that I'm playing softball at all. My animation studio, Starburns Industries, has a softball team in some kind of league, and we got together to practice, and it's looking pretty grim. But it was kind of nice. I was dreading the actual experience myself, but I kind of enjoyed being out there. I didn't die. But 2 days later, it's like, you know, you don't exercise at all, and you go to the gym and you feel great, and then 2 days later, all those torn muscles that are like now repairing themselves or whatever, however muscles work, all of a sudden you're all sore. Like you, so that's where I'm at. So whatever, who cares? Go fuck yourself. We were thinking about, because of the scheduling conflict, because we're going to be playing softball on Monday nights, we came this close to taking a little hiatus from our Harmontown meetings, and then we told Meltdown that, and they were all bummed out, and they said, what about Sundays? So starting May 6th, for those of you who come to the shows here in L.A., we're going to be moving to Sundays at 8 for at least a couple months. I think that's a better night. I can hear a couple people crying. But what? Who's got the biggest conflict? Was somebody going to be unable to come from now on? So is somebody? You're waving your hand back there. What's wrong? Why can't you come? Well, will you?
How much are they paying you?
Because
we'll double it.
What do you do for a living?
I work
at Cheesecake Factory. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say to him.
Quit.
It's not that easy for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway.
You can't swap out with somebody on a Sunday night?
Monday night,
rather?
I'm a very important member of the Cheesecake.
You're a big wheel in Cheesecake Town?
He said he's a very important member of the Cheesecake team. I don't know what the I didn't want to suggest that he quit. I mean, it could be an important step in the right direction for him. We don't know. Erin McGathy, my girlfriend, has recently become a cake maniac. She's making a million cakes a day. She made several cakes for tonight. She made one for Emily. I think it must be Emily's birthday or anniversary of her cat or something. And so she made one cake, and then she made another cake in honor of a movie we watched when we couldn't find the movie that I said we were going to watch, which is The Abominable Dr. Fives. So I didn't see that.
Nor did I. I couldn't find it. It wasn't on Netflix or Hulu or any of the thing in the Apple TVs, and my video store didn't have it. And...
Boo, we bought it on Amazon.
Okay.
You bought it? Whoa. We're going to table it for next time.
What's your name, ma'am?
Marcy.
Okay, bring out the cake. So the squeaky wheel always gets the grease at Harmontown. I figured it's a beautiful Jaws 4 cake. There's a little chocolate Mario Van Peebles getting eaten to death. Even though in the movie he doesn't really die, spoilers, Mario Van Peebles gets placed in the shark's mouth gently and lowered into the ocean by this helicopter-like shark. And then he pops up at the end and says, "Yeah, man, you thought I was dead, but I wasn't, man." And he talks just like that in the movie, for real.
Is that the movie where they use the flash on the camera to make the shark go crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you find out the sharks have vocal cords, and the shark goes,
and then Mrs. Brody rams the shark with the what do you call it,
the bowsprit,
the shark impaler on the front of the boat, and the shark explodes. It explodes on contact with the thing, and so to make that make sense, they intercut it with Roy Scheider saying "Smile, you son of a bitch" from the first movie, so that you think like, well, maybe it kind of exploded reminiscently.
And then it goes down, and there's a piece of wood kind of halfway through the shark, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll tell you, that shark was as abominable as Dr. Fibes himself. Thank you for all the trouble you went through to watch that movie that I didn't watch. Here's Marcy. This is your shark cake. She has to leave. You have to leave. I'm sorry. You can't have that cake in here.
You can't have your cake in Harmontown too.
No. That's just the shark damage. That's you're looking at like a dismembered Van Peebles and saying it's been partially eaten, but that's all part of the verisimilitude of the cake.
There was a while there in movies where they were making animals yell. That don't have vocal cords or voice boxes. I'm pretty sure in Arachnophobia there was a spider that went like, "Ah!" there was a spider that like popped a wheelie and came at you and yelled at you.
You'll make a lot of crazy choices when you're looking down the barrel of a stinker in the final audio mix. You know, like you got that big board in front of you and a whole computer, and you're just like, "Juice the spiders." I'm looking at a Jeff Daniels vehicle here. I thought it seemed like a good idea on paper, but. That's not. Give the spiders some juice. That's what they did on The Exorcist. What, when they made the devil sound like some bees in a box or something, right? Okay. I probably don't have to tell you this, but I'm feeling a little off tonight, and for that reason, I've surrounded myself with a blanket of friends who to give me energy and offset my softball soreness. So let's keep this bullet train on the tracks and bring up my friend Duncan Trussell.
Duncan Trussell!
Grab any mic you like. Wherever you're comfortable, buddy.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
I thought we could bring you out here and keep the spirits up, because I know your mom just died and.
Yeah, I'm grieving.
Is that true?
Yeah. I don't know why I'm so happy about it.
You're handling it awfully well.
Well, I told you a couple episodes ago about Duncan actually podcast his mom's deathbed. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, I always heard that. I mean, it wasn't technically, she died on a different bed, so it was like the bed before deathbed.
It was the anti-deathbed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, he sat with her. I mean, I know that doesn't sound like a sale. If I heard that on paper, I wouldn't be like, I'm going to listen to that on the way to work and slam dunk that pitch. But it's a transcendental experience. It's incredibly. It's neither saccharine nor is it depressing. It's just transcendental and uplifting. I mean, it's a
thank
guy
you.
Talking to.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean, it was so important for you to do that, because it would have been so easy not to. Like there's so many reasons not to.
Yeah. Well,
do
she
that.
Wanted to do it. See, I was sort of putting it off because she had said, you know, we should probably do one of your podcasts, and I just the whole experience. I don't. Are your parents still alive?
Yeah.
See the The whole experience is not what you expect when one of your parents. It's the problem with it is it's the, just not what you expect, and all these crazy defense mechanisms start floating up from inside of you that you did. They like you,
like denial of the experience, or
well, basically like. Many years ago, for some reason, I did some volunteer work at a hospice, and they sort of walk you through the death process. And one of the things that they said was, people die like they live. So when you're dying, you sort of, it's like your life repeats over the course of 2 or 3 weeks. It just, you go through every single pattern. You like all those patterns that you keep repeating and repeating and repeating.
So I'm just going to play Minecraft? Like.
Yes, you will. No, you'll play video games, and then also any kind of relationship stuff that you have, you'll probably relive, and any kind of like, you know, that track that you're always, that people are inevitably on, the repeating track that happens again and again in your life, like some weird echo.
Right.
That echo happens super sped up when you're dying. And it doesn't just happen to you. It happens to the people around you. They start reliving all the old patterns. So
right.
What I was doing while my mom was dying is I went into the basement and just started playing StarCraft. Just playing StarCraft to try to, like, escape. Because when
okay, so I'm sorry. So the cycles that are happening, are they happening to the person that's dying? Or yeah, and you said
everyone
it's also happening to everyone.
All your
you.
Defense mechanisms kick in because you're sort of standing at the brink of infinity. You're in the presence of absolute truth that there's you can't escape from. There's no way to bargain with it. You
right.
can't. So what happens is all your defense. You try to stick your head in any kind of sand that you can find.
Got it.
To escape from the void, basically. So.
But your mom, your relationship with your mom. I was surprised to hear this because I would have guessed just through natural parental math that your parents were either truck drivers or football coaches.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Because you are right. This Zen guy who's like into, like from the Bhagavad Gita to the Tao Te Ching and
yeah.
everything in between. There's actually only a couple things in between those two. but you are, your brain is this spiritual, you know, tree branching out into everything, the roots drinking deeply from everything beneath you and the leaves. I love you.
I love you too. I wish I was like that.
But then the podcast started rolling. I was like, okay, what is this going to be? First of all, I expected to hear like the Darth Vader sound of an air device,
yeah.
you know,
the
going, yeah. I definitely expected her to be infirm vocally, you know,
yeah.
that she like there would be this horrible experience of listening to a person that wasn't able to live
right.
anymore. But beneath all of those very surfacey expectations, I also expected her to not have a personality as much like yours, and it's not an exact match, but
yeah.
she almost seems like she was some kind of mentor to you.
She was, yeah, she definitely was in a lot of ways. She's the, it's going through her books that I first found the Bhagavad Gita or found any kind of Eastern religion or anything like that.
So that means that your dad must have been.
No!
Okay, all right.
Well, no, my dad is just this crazy... Yes, my dad is where I rebel from, because my dad is this, like... When I was a kid, I grew up in the South, and he used to take me hunting, and I hated hunting. I didn't want to go hunting, and so I'd end up sitting in the back of this truck with... Because when you go dove hunting, you don't kill a few dove. You kill piles, like
killing
Holocaust
doves?
Piles.
Is it even a thing? I didn't even know.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They kill doves. They go out and they just shoot doves.
That's like killing Christmas trees.
Yeah.
I guess they do that, too. I guess that's how they become Christmas trees. I didn't think the doves on the trees were also had to be.
No, yeah, we would hang doves on the trees, dove corpses on the tree. So I would like one story that my dad likes to bring up when he's around his Southern friends or drinking is like, I took you hunting, you're sitting in the back of the truck, and you started trying to breathe life back into the doves' bodies.
And you're Starman.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's probably where they're
you think you're Starman. You ain't no Starman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the where the rebellion thing happened.
Right. Your dad was corporeal. Your dad was visceral. He was of the mortal coil.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. But still a really cool, interesting Southern guy. But yeah, you know, I read one of your blogs to my mom on her pre-death.
Oh, that's right. Dustin said something about
that. She thought
that.
It was so fucking funny, man. You made somebody with late stage cancer authentically laugh. And she compared you to, she said that you remind her of...
Dylan Thomas.
Yeah.
I know. Dylan Thomas. I got a text message about it and I wrote it down. that was incredibly flattering, but it put me this weird shine the spotlight on, because I was being a voyeur watching you in this relationship with your mom and her death and all this stuff, and I am a rampant narcissist. I will insert myself into anything, wrap, bend everything toward me. Like my ego has just it's like some singularity. It just has like it's the size of a penny, but has the gravity of Jupiter. It just I play that unassuming like a little old me game, and it just sucked into me. Like, everything's about me.
Yeah.
10 seconds before the word I or me comes into it, doesn't matter what we're talking about. And so I was listening to that, and I was thinking in my head, I was like, I wonder what she'd think of my writing.
There you go. No, she thought it was hilarious, man. But you know, she was by that time the cancer had gone into her brain.
only the taste center. So all her other faculties about her.
Yeah, the grain of salt.
The last thing she said is, "Man, those Ernest movies."
Yeah.
I wish he had gone one more place. And Dan Harmon's like Dylan Thomas. Burp. But anyways, I thank you so much for having done that, because I'll have an experience if I'm quote unquote lucky. Either I will die before my mom or my mom will die before me.
Right.
But assuming my mom will die before me, I don't know why I'm qualifying all this.
Like, she will,
because I'm superstitious and weird, and death is fucking weird. And even viewed from the deer blind of it not being reality, like it already starts to get awkward and weird. And you want to knock on wood after everything you say, and you want the dying to be invisible, which is why it makes it already hard process even harder. And that tunnel is what you go through when you listen to that podcast episode. You come out the other side, if only for a moment, because already I feel weird about death again. But for that period of time and all day at work that day, it was like, fuck, man, so much shit that I was afraid of, is not a thing to be afraid of.
It isn't. You know why it's not a thing to be afraid of? Because you can't understand it. It's impossible to understand it. It's not anything that you expect. You can't. Being afraid is it's kind of like any reaction you have to death is like kicking sand at Godzilla. There's no reaction you can have to it, because it's a singularity, and it seems pointless to contemplate it too much, even though a lot of Eastern traditions say that meditation is the preparation for death, you know, because when you, I guess it's kind of like, you don't, if you can avoid it, you don't want to relive your life in the last 2 weeks of your life.
Right.
If you can avoid it, you want to have this stable, steady thing and not go into all the old neurotic aspects of your life. Because it's a terrifying, now I was just saying don't be afraid of it. Now I'm saying it's fucking scary. You can't breathe. You're in pain. My brain is still stuttering from it, and my therapist says it's like at least.
Well, that's the other thing I wanted
months.
To ask you about is now you went on tour right after,
right as it was happening,
and now you're back, and I know you were via Dustin, who's He's a little gossip.
Yeah, so, yeah.
He said that you were, you know, having trouble getting out of the house and feeling a little like.
Yeah, I'm depressed.
Yeah.
But that's not grief is depression. But I've retired. What I do is I buy robots and feed birds and just sit. Like my brain is reacting in this weird way where I bought a Roomba. I bought lights that I control with my phone and a bird feeder. So I just sit with the Roomba inside.
You're still breathing life back into birds.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm killing them. So I'm sitting on my porch. I've got.
You didn't mix up the robot food with the bird food.
You sent rubber on it.
No, I've set up my porch for this to, like, it's a place to read. I've got wind chimes, a fountain. A bird feeders, and I've.
Have you bought all that stuff recently?
Yeah, it's all part of this.
Really, all of that? I was just over at your place for your birthday.
They sell it as a whole package at hospitals. You can buy as a wind chime bird feeder porch swing package. You can get.
I got all of that. I don't know what it is. Like everyone's telling me you're grieving, so you're going to go crazy. So. Let yourself go crazy, and the more you let yourself go crazy and be impulsive, the faster you'll get through it. So for me, that going crazy was, I'll buy a robot vacuum cleaner and I hummingbird feeders. So I'm sitting on the porch proud of myself because all the birds finally came to the feeder and it's covered in birds and I'm watching the birds and I feel like the god of birds. Like when you have bird feeders, you get this weird sense of like, yeah. This is because of me. I am your Lord. And I bring the food. It is because they were starving before that.
They're starving. maybe if somebody wronged you.
All you've done is actually just change migration routes, and now they're all going to die eventually because they came out of their.
Well,
way.
No, it already happened. Like I'm sitting there, wind chimes are chiming. The fountain, it's so peaceful, and a bird just like rockets right into my fucking window, right in front of me. Just wow. Right in front of me, and I go over to its little, and I had seen it. I went to its body, and a little trickle of red was coming out of its beak.
Oh God!
Because it broke its neck. I'd seen that bird on the feeder earlier in the day.
Wait, was it a hummingbird?
No, it was a finch.
Yeah, because okay.
The hummingbirds don't hit the window. They seem like they would be incapable of that.
You know, the secret is you have to dress like a hawk.
I sit on my porch dressed as a hawk.
You have to get a hawk costume.
This is your origin story of your new supervillain character.
You have to strike fear into those you love. It's very complicated. But the Batman version's been taken. You know, you want to be a superhero these days. You gotta get labyrinthine.
yeah, that's a great. I would do that. I mean,
you would dress like a hawk.
Fuck yeah, I dress like a hawk.
You're on record. We're recording this.
I'll dress like a hawk and sit on my porch.
All right. You heard it here.
It's a weird... I got to tell you, though, it's a very strange dimension that we're existing in. And that's why bird feeders are cool, because you just consider what's happening is such a bizarre thing from the perspective of the bird, which is this giant tower of meat, like this H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu thing. The opposite of the bird is like put these things out and they don't understand what I am, but I stink to them. There's some weird smells that birds hate is coming off of me, and they sit but they want to eat the food, so they sit and eat and like peer around and look and then eat.
They must live in constant whatever their version of fear is, because they're surrounded by mammals that, and 90% of them will hurt them if they grab them, but then 10% of them don't, but they probably can't tell the difference between a cat and a dude.
They're just they exist in a hell world where one wrong
that's
move.
Why they move like you know, like,
yeah,
like,
that's
like,
why they're
like
always
baseball players in an
shit.
Old movie
fuck yeah. And I was watching them before the bird died, and I was thinking, I bet there's an older bird somewhere being like, don't go to those feeders. It's cursed near the feeders. You go near the feeders and you're cursed by the Lord of Birds. And then one of them smacked right into the window. He's like, see, the price is death from
the he just fell right out of the air.
Yeah.
It was nothing. It was like he hit a force field.
That's what it is.
You know what a force field is, but you don't know what a window is?
Yeah.
I seize him. We're trying to seize him, but we don't have hands. The bird equivalent of seizure. Yeah, I don't know what's natural for a bird, though. They're probably, I mean, they don't know, like what are they, I guess digging up a worm like in some cartoon, like they got to be thinking someone put that there too. What am I talking about? I should just shoot myself right now. Thanks, guys. Thanks. I'll keep saying that once a week until I stop getting that reaction. And then, boom. I know you're conflicted about that.
A guy did that. Remember the guy who did that a while ago? In an open mic, a guy stabbed himself to death.
What?
No. You guys didn't hear about that?
What?
Yeah. This is in Colorado.
Anthony Jeselnik. it was like a couple days ago.
Dana Gould.
Dana Gould just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
What? No, what happened? Tell it. What happened?
Well, the story is, like, he came on stage and he just played some song. I think the song was like, it had something to do with, like, Sorry for the Mess was the name of the song. And then he just started jamming a knife.
Where was this?
This is in Colorado. So he just—I don't know. Just some shitty open mic, you know, like.
Did he die?
Oh, he died. Yeah.
He went up and murdered himself in front of an audience.
Yeah, he stabbed himself to death in front of a crowd.
Piece of shit. It's a terrible thing to do.
To other people. It is true. You've talked about that. Suicide really is actually like a very selfish. You know, it's like the amount of gravity that you exert on other people's lives when you take yourself out of the picture. Like,
oh yeah, it's definitely a I mean, that in particular. I think suicide when you have some kind of chronic illness or something is totally cool.
No.
Let him suffer.
I think it should be illegal. No. Okay. All right, let's keep the bullet train moving. You stay here. Let's bring up another friend, Mr. Greg Proops. Your microphone's in your tuchus. Oh man, I just realized is that why the extra energy when I took the stage? Are there proopophiles that are all right? Good.
Evidently.
I don't mean to say that Harmenians are a bunch of sluggish oafs. Like,
no, but proopophiles and Harmenians can learn to live together, like the Czechs and the Slovaks did for all those years.
What makes a proopophile a proopophile? What sets them apart?
I think a certain...
If I could walk like a proopophile...
A joie de vivre, a certain je ne sais quoi, a certain sense of denial goes into every day of living.
I mean, yeah, total, like, oxymoronic. I mean, you're a proopophile. It's mm-hmm. like, God.
Think about how fruitless that is as a pursuit, and then you get a good idea of why proopophiles follow it. I think it's that Sisyphusian pushing the rock up the hill and then the rock rolls back down the hill kind of thing. Either that or some hilarious sitcom reference from the 70s.
Yes!
More of a Starsky and Hutchian than
right.
a Sisyphusian.
Hey, don't count it. I know from your perspective you think that's like... No, they just stare at me blankly all the time, too.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I know. There's Starsky and Hutch. They're like, what?
Who is the Starsky and Hutch you speak of when television was powered by water?
Greg, have you met Duncan before? You guys pals?
We haven't, and I've been very moved by what Duncan was saying. You're an extraordinary person. You're very brave, and you're very funny, and I adore your podcast, and right on, buddy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you, Greg. Thanks. That's amazing.
I think he's been marvelously genuine tonight. Something that I'm terrible at. Yeah. So
I wanted you guys to I wanted to see what would happen if because I don't know. I have like three friends.
Certainly not.
But I mean, I said, like, I was trying, like a lot of people have like have like 20 or 30 people that they call friends, and then they have like, let's say, 150 people that they call something else, like acquaintances or something. And I have like three people that are my friends only because they're the only people that can tolerate texting me and then not me not responding because I was like, it's Jeff and
Are
Dino.
You that person?
Yeah,
don't
I guess.
Respond?
Yeah, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you answer your text?
No.
No?
I don't. I'm terrible at answering emails and I do the exact same thing, Dan. And it's a problem because people take it the wrong way. They think it means you don't love them. But it's just.
So then we can be friends.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We already are friends.
You already haven't responded to several of my emails.
Yeah, this is great. It's like my honeymoon.
You'll be friends, but you'll never ever have lunch together.
No, because you'll never be able to finish that series of texts.
Exactly. Yeah.
You really have to love drinking a block from my house in order to become like really tight with me.
Right.
But now that you feel like I'm raising up in this friend stakes here.
Now that you've got the house, Dan, and I think we could have all predicted this, that like I see you Monday nights here at Harmontown, and if I go to your house. I don't work at Starburns Industries, and other than that, like I have, that's where you're going to be.
Yeah, I'm getting bad, and I'm sinking into I'm a proud Minecraft addict. Like it's obscene.
What are you working on? What's the new task in Minecraft?
I've loaded up Minecraft with all these mods that let you make all these different things. And so I'm working on making a nuclear reactor, and I have a
wow.
I've created my sixth solar panel. So I've just proudly to the point where
like
solar
North Korea.
Energy. What's that going? I'm Korea, like Korea. Yeah, it doesn't matter. If what was going on with me was interesting, I wouldn't I wouldn't be surrounding myself
with
entertaining people.
When you leave the house to come to Harmontown, say tonight,
I go. Oh fuck! What am I going to talk to them about? Minecraft?
Why not?
I hope Greg Proops and Duncan Trussell show up.
Greg, do you play video games?
What?
You don't play video games.
No. But you know what? I don't shame people who do.
Just did.
Yeah. The inflection.
It wasn't intentional.
The inflection was there.
The inflection is yes. You're counting lashes when you're whipping Jesus. Wow.
You know, Jesus had his bad side.
Asking for it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're making a value judgment, Duncan.
I'm sorry.
Maybe my timbre or my tone indicated that I was diminishing people who play games, but I think it's marvelous when people let their creativity run rampant in that area. It's simply not for me. I think it's a generational thing. I was born in the middle of a war. I was born in a crossfire hurricane. And I howled at my mom in the drive-in rain. Yeah, I was down. So the thing is...
Well, there's a healthy use of your time.
I don't... I like to read and watch old movies. And lately, because Jackie Robinson's movie came out this week, 42, I went and saw it the other day, and I have... And my wife, you know, imagine her disappointment when I bring four different books about Jackie Robinson out, including two that he's written.
I saw the poster at the Grove, and I was like, I bet Greg's happy about that baseball movie coming out. Is it any good?
It was hagiographic, as we say. It portrayed him in a way that.
What does that mean? Hagiographic.
Hagiographic is like when you take someone's history. Like for instance, if I were to write the history of Dan Harmon.
Go on.
Right. Like all of a sudden you'd be pounding over a typewriter and pieces of paper coming out, and then there'd be stacks of them, right?
And the Stephen J. Cannell logo
exactly,
would happen.
The shot of the paper. Yeah. And then. You'd take a sip from a bottle, but then we'd see in the garbage can 80 bottles.
Right.
And then all over the floor.
And a letter from my mom.
Right. Yeah. And a can of tuna that's been upturned. Right. And a cat that hasn't been fed in ages and whatnot.
And I'd have an answering machine, and there'd be six messages in a row, all expository.
Right.
Hey, it's your editor. Got another thing.
Every single one of them would explain your character.
Right.
This is your mom. Why won't you call?
Right.
You know, one after the next.
Yeah, that the 80s mom on the other end of the phone.
But then when you write the script that wins and you become Dan Harmon and shit, that's the moment we'd be like, I'm so grateful. If there's one thing I want to thank, it's God and shit. They didn't do that
in the Jackie movie.
They had him be a human, but like I know way too much about this, and I don't want to stop your show.
Well, but I'm caught up on this word hagiographic. I just want to make sure I understand.
Hagiography is taking the history of someone and.
Can you spell that word?
Yeah, H A G I O.
Can you mine it in Minecraft?
Yeah, I can.
No, not mime. He wants to. Oh, is
oh, mime it.
Wait, were you going to mime it?
No, I was going to mine it. Like oh.
He was miming pulling a cart.
If you remember the Seven Dwarves, they worked in a mine all day. And I think
it's spelled like Haji.
Yeah, it's a Greek word, and I'm not certain what the prefix means, but in essence, what it bore. Easy, Tiger. I'll take it from here. Thanks. I know you've got some Asperger people here tonight. It's awesome.
Just some Goldberg people.
Yeah, I know. You have many thesauruses here and other tiny dinosaurs all around the audience. It just means that it takes what was once a human experience and turns it into a movie. Experience. You know, like, for instance, you've seen, Jeff and I often talk about the movie Patton or Lawrence of Arabia, which are great biopics, but, like, they have nothing to do with the actual person.
Factually,
yeah.
There's not a single moment in the movie that probably happened.
Well,
and
maybe.
Yet
Patton didn't jump out on a balcony and start shooting his pistols at a plane going by.
Like maybe he did. If he didn't, he ought to have, and that's what movies are about.
I hope he actually said in the hallway of somewhere with sunlight coming in a bunch of windows, I hope he said, is this some kind of sick joke? An entire world at war and
yes,
I'm not involved?
Yes.
God will not allow it!
My favorite part of the movie, man.
Greg and I have done... We travel a lot together. Greg and I will do the entirety of Patton together.
Two and a half hours. Yeah, it's horrible. And that's the best part, Dan. When he's an entire world at war and I'm not allowed to be in it. God will not allow this to happen. I will be allowed to fulfill my destiny.
Yeah.
His will be done.
Patton
poor black belly standing there like... You know, but that's why movies are good. Because... I once said to my wife, if movies aren't better than real life, I don't want to live.
Yeah, yeah.
Movies are an extrapolation on life. They're not they're a reflection.
Yeah. I mean, a movie, for better or for worse, the definition of it has become... Well, now it's been extended to 3 hours. I don't know why that movement happened.
It
has something to do with the same reason why in the 90s graphic design of posters went out the window.
Yeah.
It just became Denzel Washington's half of his face and half of whoever else's face was in the movie.
Yeah.
And then like a knife. And that I thought that would never end because I think like I've seen some cool posters lately like it seems like graphic designers have started to get paid again but I think that maybe editing entered that thing where they're like, wait a minute, we don't have to do three passes on this movie, let's just make it 3.5 hours long. But you would think that the bottom line mentality would say no, make it 90 minutes
so that we can show it in multiplexes. Those Lord of the Rings movies are like 8 hours long each,
I guess, but they must, so they make so much money that everyone's confusing that and going like, sure, let your Brad Pitt movie about the invention of ping pong be 3 hours long. It'll be just like a Peter Jackson film.
I love that movie, by the way. Hot balls.
The tiny net.
Have you heard of these new theaters that they have in Japan that are coming here?
Hot balls.
They're in China. Have you heard about these? There's these new theaters, hardcore theaters that drop bubbles onto the audience and have scent that they're
sweet.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Like the 50s.
The seats
like vibrate, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Smell-o-vision.
That's coming back. The aspect of scent, like apparently it's coming to the United States soon. But yeah, it's basically somehow they're emulating smell, which I've always wanted to see what that would be like.
Does anyone remember the book Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, where you held on to two electrodes during the movie? And they were called the feelies. So when people in the movie are raped and people in the movie are shot, and while you're watching, you're like, oh.
Yes.
And I always thought that really nailed it.
Yeah. Well, we're getting there, yeah. I just put on one of those Oculus Rift things. I don't know if you know, this is like they're starting to ship the development kits for these things that when I was in my 20s, there was this concept called virtual reality in the 90s.
Yes.
And
everybody always looked at their hand.
They inserted it into everything. Lucky Charms commercials had virtual reality in it. Like, oh, they'll never get my Lucky Charms if I go into virtual reality. virtual reality. I'm not kidding. That's really not an exaggeration. Like, there would be the shitty movie of the month would come out with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore, and then they'd have just a scene in between blowjobs where she was in virtual reality. Like the scene where they go into the office and look through a filing cabinet was replaced with a scene of her putting on goggles and going into a virtual filing cabinet. Yeah. Anyways, Lawnmower Man, yada yada. Then we dropped it because it got so embarrassing. It was like disco. It was like we as soon as New Year's of 2000 happened, we were like, enough with the goggles and the people going like this.
No more Strange Days.
Because it never really happened. Yeah. Because there's and this kid started a Kickstarter. Kid, I call him a kid. He's probably under 50. He started a Kickstarter and said, look, I don't know why we gave up on this. We can do this. This is a real thing. And it just got flooded with money and flooded with agreements from software developers. Like, yes, let's fucking do this. So anyways, my friend Justin Roiland, who's an insane, he's the co-creator of Rick and Morty, and he's like this insane like collector of everything. He got one of these development kits, brought it to the office. I put on these goggles, and I was like, I'm standing in Tuscany, like in a house, and I move my head a little cautiously this way, and there's shit over here, and then I'm everywhere. I'm looking everywhere, and there's Tuscany everywhere. 360 degrees of Tuscany, which I'm recommending as the title of my biopic. Please let it be hagiographic.
It will be.
Yeah, because I've never been to Tuscany.
Because you know what? In the first scene, you're burning your canvas and just fuming over it. You've spent hours painting it,
and a wife that I've never had, but that's an amalgam of all of my girlfriends comes in and goes, "You need."
And then someone rides up on a donkey and goes, "This is from the Pope," and you're like, "Shit." Because you're in Tuscany.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. It's happening. It's definitely happening. Like one look through these things and just the realization that it's happening, that within 5 years, because these things are super low resolution. They don't have proximity sensors on them. So when you move your head, that you get this like very, you get motion sickness very quickly. You get like a weird nausea because of little tweaks that they need to make to this thing. But once they make those tweaks and increase the resolution of these things, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah, I was talking to, I had brunch yesterday with a friend, and they have a 3 month old baby, and we're talking like in 2 years we're talking about the Oculus Rift. That's going to be that baby's baseline. They're going to start out there. They're that's going to be so cool.
Yeah, but it's going to be a pair of Ray-Bans. You know, it's not going to be a fucking ridiculous set of goggles. And then 5 years after that, it's going to be a patch you put on your temple.
Well, it'll be already inserted.
I know this for a fact.
But
I predicted jetpacks in the 80s. Look, they happened eventually in the title sequence for The Fall Guy.
Because of this technology. This has created this philosophy that we're in a simulation. This is something we always talk about, but they're testing
now. Something that's actually accessible now, which is interesting because in like Plato's cave, it's like he's using state-of-the-art technology to make his point. Candles, shadows.
Yeah, right.
Right. And it was like, think about it. And if he was saying that to a caveman pre-fire, they'd go like, what the fuck? Hey, man, listen, I know you're trying to tell me that life is a dream, but I don't know fire yet, let alone the controlling the shadows and stuff. This concept of actual like video games have gotten so addictive and so immersive that you and I kind of like talking about this. I've been on your podcast twice and we keep talking about
because there's two reasons we talk about it. One, because there is a technological tsunami that's about to destroy society, because the moment the technology advances to the point where that reality becomes more amazing than this reality, becomes indistinguishable from this reality, when it becomes hagiographic, is that what you call it?
Exactly.
When life becomes vestigial.
When the myth is better than the reality.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. When that happens.
Like movies are to me.
Yeah. Already people are hooked on World of Warcraft or even movies or on these very low risk.
People won't want to travel. People already don't want to travel. But people that feel like they should travel but don't have the.
Yeah, I know Tuscany's probably beautiful, but
it is.
I really liked looking at fake low res Tuscany with motion sickness through a pair of goggles.
Right.
Because it was more exciting because we have been, as a species, we are instinctively compelled to I think, destroy ourselves. We think, create ourselves.
Right.
We Campbell would say we have like a blueprint on our spinal cord of that's why we create the gods that we worship. They have these. We have this fantasy that our purpose is to be gods. Our purpose is to create life.
Yeah.
Our purpose is to change the weather. Our purpose is to defeat death. Our purpose is to teleport. Our purpose is to, like reach across the earth and grab the Loch Ness Monster by the neck and use it for salting our pizza.
That's it. That's the wow. point of everything.
By the way, that's exactly what I would do with the Loch Ness Monster. You know why? Because he's spicy.
A lot of people don't think so because he's Scottish, you know? They think it's going to be bland.
But it'll be salty because Scotland only has two spices. Salt and
booze. Have you found that your pizza's... that your
salt and freedom!
Yeah. You can take away my colors, but you couldn't take away my...
I'd like a Scottish pizza. Can I get half Loch Ness salt, half freedom? That's all we got, man.
It'll be there in 2.5 hours. We're a bit short tonight.
It's a great, great day for motor car racing. All right. What were you going to say, Jeff? Sorry.
Do you find
I took an accent workshop in comedy sports.
No, you didn't.
We should talk about that. We should talk about that.
Did you hear me?
Did you really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't take it. They gave it to me. They thought that I would be better at improv if I knew how to say, it's a great, great day for motor car racing every time someone said Scottish.
So you're Jackie Stewart.
Yeah, I'm a wart on Rich Little's taint.
But his taint was pretty smooth.
Yeah.
I think that's the
irony. Yeah.
I think we already tried.
The actual irony is Rich Little's taint, incredibly distinctive, resembled no one else's taint in the world.
A unique and singular taint.
A master impressionist.
Yeah. But that's
his taint was just, it was only his. God broke the mold.
But
no one could ever know, and that's why.
When virtual reality gets advanced enough, we will be able to stand in his taint and look around.
This is Rich Little's taint.
That's not a day I look forward to, Duncan. What you were speaking of before, I could thrill to. But this, you guys travel ever? You travel, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
But you don't like traveling much, Dan, do you?
Me and Jeff, I think, are kind of addicted to travel.
I think with my mouth, and so I don't. I've only been out of the English hegemony zone once. I was in Paris, where they still speak a ton of English,
of course,
or at least 3 pounds of it. And I was immediately, like, as I would have predicted, like very uncomfortable. Like I roll with it. Like, I'm not like a, you know, but the truth is, like, I'm walking around Paris, and I was like, I just feel absolutely useless and crippled, and it's my fault, and because I took 2 years of French, but didn't.
Oh no, we all
take.
Took 2 years of French, and I never took.
Every other country in the world speaks two languages, and I like there I was. It's like the Eiffel Tower looks like a big thing. It's great.
Well, Greg has a great.
But
thing.
I loved Dublin because they spoke something that I could decipher.
I've learned something from Greg. Greg and I have traveled around the world a bit to a few countries that don't speak English, and Greg has this great thing. Like, Greg actually keeps a. Like a book, like with paper in it, and he writes notes down, and he's little pages of
what a cock.
All the he writes down notes. If you
paper, cast your mind back.
It's a surface that with the pinch zoom function disabled.
Speaking of which, Greg and I, was it you and I? We were stuck in San Luis Obispo Airport for 8 hours, and this little tiny airport with one plane that didn't show up, and there was a fucking, I think I might have talked about this on the show before, but there was a toddler walking around and haranguing everybody, and everybody wanted to murder this child, but you can't because you're in an airport and 9/11, and you can't.
That's the reason you can't.
Yeah.
The reason you can't is 9/11. God damn that 9/11.
In the old days, you could
fucking Patriot Act.
You could smoke on the plane and you could throttle a child.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
In the good old days. And you got off of fucking Hawaii on the Hawaiian Airlines and they gave you a lay and it was sexy and it was good. But now you can't kill a 3-year-old. But the little baby had like a Newsweek and we were all, there was nothing to do and this plane wouldn't fucking show.
Yeah.
And there was a baby, and we heard this laughter behind us, and this toddler was looking at a magazine, and it was trying to iPad it. It was trying to swipe.
Wow.
And the baby hadn't mastered page-turning technology. He couldn't understand why he was moving his hand across a thing, and the surface wasn't changing the image. And everybody laughed, and I wanted to just vomit tears.
To be fucking fair, though, not a single
don't
person...
Don't be fair. Don't coddle this child, Harmony.
No. Just to bring back perspective so that we don't feel like the world is falling apart because of that, because that makes me feel queasy, too. But then you have to remember that not a single person in this room... I say that now. I'm going to make one guy's going to stand up and say, I know how to do it. But not a single person...
I know how to do it. Sorry.
Not a single person in this room can make a piece of paper.
Oh, no.
Out of a log. That is technology. We are as beholden to the guy that invented paper as we are to Steve Jobs.
We are.
Jobs.
Or Job.
The technology does. You know, we build on it. 40% of this audience is wearing eyeglasses. 100% of this audience speaks an alphabet that was invented after. You know, it's a mimetic society. It's not a genetic one. Otherwise, we'd be fucking lions or ants. And so that kid
or
you know,
bees.
That kid that doesn't know how to turn a page and may never turn a page, he could end up being, you know, president of Earth.
And he did in a futuristic episode I wrote, and then I had to kill his mother because so he wouldn't be born in case he made peace that didn't defeat Kim Jong-un. It's a lot like that Harlan Ellison in the Star Trek episode.
But I learned from Greg is that Greg, we were in Sarajevo.
That's right.
We were in Yugoslavia or the former Republic of Yugoslavia, whatever the fuck we were.
Thyrom.
Exactly. That was Macedonia, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
You guys went to Thyrom?
Thyrom, yeah.
And we went to the, God, what was that horrible? Macedonia was really bad. Kosovo.
Kosovo, yeah.
Are the citizens of Thyrom called thyroids?
It's Thyrom, the former Yugoslavian Republic of Macedonia. But Greg has a little piece of paper and he writes down all the pleases and thank yous. Hello, how do you do? Sorry, good day. You write those things down. And you don't have to know everything when you travel to a foreign place. If you walk in and you go, Dobrodon, and they go like
Dobro veche.
Yeah, and they freak out, and like the Greg's like I use that all the time. Whenever I go anywhere, I make sure I know how to say all the polite things that you can walk in.
Because we learn how to stay. What is it?
Steimer.
Yeah.
Steimer. I did a show in which means like what's up, kind of like what's happening in Croatia, Serbo-Croatia. And so I was in Chicago. I did a gig with Lucha Vavoom, and I met some people, and they took me to a club, and it was run by these giant Eastern European guys who hated my guts on site. They just I went with this girl who they knew, and they didn't like me at all, but they were, I'm 6'4", kind of, they were like 6'7", and giant hockey player looking dudes in suits, and they wanted to murder me. And they were either Serbian or Croatian, but you can't guess wrong on that one.
Like if you think not like, an option.
Yeah, yeah, if you think like guessing wrong in like Kiwi versus Aussie, like that's not, no.
Japanese and Chinese, those, they love that.
Yeah, no.
Same. Like no, you got it wrong.
Same difference. Yeah.
These guys hated my guts. They were giants, and they just were like just glowering at me. And I went up to one of them, and they wouldn't let me buy a drink. They wanted me out of there. It was really like they were being really hostile and strange. And I said, "Are you Croatian?" Just guessed. But I had a 50-50 on it. And he goes, assuming I was even right about that. Because his name was like Draco or something.
Dragula, yeah.
I will bury you.
His name was Milos or something like that. I said, are you Croatian? He goes, big, long pause. It felt like about a minute. He was like, yes. And I went, because of Greg, I went, Steimer. And he goes, what the fuck?
It was a what does it
and
mean?
You know what your answer to Stime is?
Niste speciale.
Niste speciale.
Nothing special.
Nothing special, man.
Are you saying you learned how to say no worries, bro?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
He went over to his buddies and he goes, I could not get my wallet out of my pocket. They would not let me leave the club. Like, drinks were on them for the rest of the night.
They took your wallet out of your pocket?
No. They wouldn't let me get my wallet out of my pocket.
Oh, okay. They pulled my pants down. They put their penises in my asshole.
Long story short, I woke up the next morning naked
with nothing to worry about.
They were such friendly racists.
Yes. Long story short, they fucked me into the dirt.
That's what we learned in Game of Thrones, yeah.
I'll fuck you into the dirt. That episode almost went fucking wild.
You know what we do to runners, don't you?
If you can say stop.
No, I don't. Tell me. You bring them back. I said, we're going to fuck you into dirt. What the hell? What?
No, not fuck you into dirt. We're going to fuck you into the dirt. They're not going to make you dirt.
I missed this episode. What is that? It doesn't matter.
That was two episodes ago. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh, fuck, man.
Do they fuck people in the dirt?
No, they didn't. But they threatened to fuck a guy into the dirt. And then, spoilers, this is two episodes ago. But then a guy came along and shot a bunch of dudes with arrows. But at one point, I'm going to fuck you into the dirt. I was like,
what?
Jesus.
That's saying a lot.
But don't say too much, because there are some people that will be a couple episodes behind. But I swear to God, like...
Greg, you've watched... I fucking went into... Did we talk about this on the show? Greg and I were doing a gig at a casino, and I'm wandering around in the daytime. The show's not till night. I walk by, and there's Greg sitting at a slot machine, and he's sitting there like a little old lady. His legs are crossed. He's been there for a while, and it was the Sex and the City slot machine.
Oh, yeah.
And I almost disowned you as a friend.
I'm not gay, and I make no case for it. It was the best slot machine. I won a couple hundred off that fucker, too. They'd go like... Dun 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 dun. Samantha has to pick a pair of shoes.
No.
And then like, which shoes will it be? And I'm like, oh god, the pumps or the fucking slingbacks and shit. I'm like, slingbacks. And then wing 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 wing. And then Mr. Big would go, nice choice. Bum 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 bum.
All right, wait. let's get Spencer up here and play some Dungeons and Dragons. Spencer Crittenden, summon yourself.
Spencer,
from the ethereal
everybody.
Plane.
Dungeon Master to the stars.
There's no chair.
I'll stand. I'll sit.
He walks to the black table, his beard wagging, his community t-shirt making Dan Harmon feel sad.
It's not a good show, right?
I can't wear blue shirts to work, because when I'm leaving, people will be like, help me, and I'm like, no.
He works at the Apple Store. But isn't that your fantasy as a back roomer?
No, because they'd still be mistaken, and then they'd be like, oh, that guy didn't help.
Oh, man. When I worked in food service, I worked in the dish room, and then they promoted me to work the front line of the rehab center where I was doing dishes. My raise was a quarter an hour, and after a week, I went to the manager and I said, I want to wash dishes again. I can't I can't deal with the people.
That was my whole thing. Yeah,
the worst. Like, I thought it was going to be a dream. Like, oh, instead of washing the dishes, I get to make the dishes dirty. I get to put their mashed potatoes on the plate. But you have to talk to the people. Their psychological dishes were not done. And if you would point that out, a counselor would say, that's inappropriate. It's not inappropriate, and you don't have a psychology degree. You're a fucking counselor at a private rehab center that's draining insurance money. And then you're sending anorexics home. I've been putting Polycos in their apple juice for 6 months, and their insurance ran out. They're walking home a human skeleton.
What
they
is
think
Polycos?
They're cured.
Me
it's
too.
It's a fattener that they use to keep anorexics from dying while they suck their bank accounts dry.
Wow.
Anyways, I'm going to write a letter to a 1993 senator. That's going to shut that place down again.
Why don't you write a movie like Upton Sinclair that shit so I can blow the lid off?
Because I'm sure that everything's changed now.
Do the anorexics know that you're putting this into their apple juice?
No, they did not, sir. No, they did not.
Instead of polyglots, I eat a lot of Reese's Pieces. Sometimes Oreo bits.
They would. I was in charge of, like, I would have to watch the people from the anorexic unit. They would, because they had an open cafeteria, they would hide their Jell-O behind the juice mm-hmm. machine, and I had to go as an 18-year-old pimply faced guy with a rat tail. I was in charge of going, hey Veronica, come on, hey, saw you put your Jell-O behind the, you don't know, I don't put my Jell-O behind the thing, hey, come on, well, I'm making $3.75 an hour,
which was a raise from the $3.50
an hour that I raced back to after one week on the line, as we called it.
But they drink the apple. They would drink apple. Is that a thing where they would drink the, like, anorexics
love
apple juice?
They drink the juice. They think it's just apple juice. I'm dumping, like, fucking, like, turkey, liquid turkey stuffing in it. Invisible, wow. Odorless, flavorless, caloric booster in it. Which is their nightmare. It's like curing a conspiracy theorist by getting together with the government. It's not. It can't be healthy. It's their wow. fantasy come true if they find out. Because I was like, do they know we're putting fucking fat in their apple juice to keep their bodies from dying wow. while you have them draw pictures of themselves and finger paint? No, they don't. And we'd really appreciate it if you keep a lid on that, like you keep a lid on the mayonnaise. You minimum wage food service worker. Thanks for helping us with people's brains for a living.
Let's play some D&D.
Yeah.
How you been, Spencer? Yeah.
How am I?
What's new in Crittendom?
Crittendom.
Crittendom.
I don't know, man. Nothing.
You feeling
I don't.
Good?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we started playing. I think we spoke about this. We started an actual D&D campaign.
Oh.
At Dan's crib.
Yeah.
Where it's non televised, non podcasted, and I'm very excited about it. I wore a little costume last time, and no one else did. Turns out you're not supposed to wear a costume to.
Yeah, you are. You yes. Please keep doing.
My costume is on a rack and on a hanger for tomorrow night, yeah. And it's going to be.
Don't stop.
I went into a thrift store because I went to go buy a little. I went to a stationery store because I wanted like a little notebook. So I walked in there and there was kind of a nerdy dude working at the mailboxes or whatever the place was. I go, do you have like any blank books or journals? And he's like, yeah, we got some over here, we got some over there. I go, I'm looking for one. I'm playing D&D. He goes, right this way. And I was like, "Oh, that's the jazz right there." And then, so we're talking about this, and I got some post-it notes, and I got my little folder to put my character sheet in. I was very excited about it. It felt like the first day of school. And next door to the place is a thrift store, and I went to the ladies section. It turns out you can get a nice little halfling rogue costume in there. I came out. Nobody wanted to help me. They were so bummed out. Like I told all the hipster girls at work, I'm like, look, I'm playing D&D. I'm a halfling rogue, and I'd like something, maybe like a little vest or like they didn't give a shit. But then I came out in my outfit, and they were like, that's the stuff. Are you gonna dress up?
Yes. Anything to support this gateway that you're going through. I want you to. I want you to end up where you want to end up. If you need me to. I want to dress up too, yes.
I was at your place half hour before you were. You came home and you were at the table rolling dice and looking at your book and doing stuff. And we'd spoken a few times before you realized that I was wearing a costume.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you were. Yeah, I only saw you. All right. But let's get Aaron out here and McGathy.
Aaron McGathy to the stage. Aaron McGathy. The return of Mulray and Sedona. I'm glad you could take time out of your busy cake-making schedule to join us.
I was talking about cake-making with Danielle. I almost couldn't be bothered to come out because I was talking about my cake tips. I made a cake for Duncan for his birthday.
It was amazing.
Thanks,
I've
Duncan.
Been eating it by myself in my house, just scooping big chunks of chocolate cake and watching birds. It was delicious. How long does it take to make a cake like that?
4 days. 4 days No, not really. No, I love that. It takes. Well, I've learned how to multitask. So it takes 30 minutes for the cake to bake in the oven, and it takes about 4 minutes for me to mix. I use a box.
What the? What?
Oh.
Well, I never said it otherwise. I'm just doing it because I like decorating the cake.
We have really Game of Thrones good. Night at my place, our place, every week, and we're 3 weeks in a row now. You started with a Dinklage that looked like Cobain, then it was a Jon Snow that looked a lot like Jon Snow, and last night your cake, your Game of Thrones cake, had the what's her name, the Dragon Lady,
Daenerys.
Looking you're getting.
Well, I bought some fondant. Who loves fondant? Here for fondant.
All right.
What is fondant?
Fondant is like sugar clay. It's clay made out of sugar. It's what I use for
It's
your
a Hey Geographic sucrose.
It's a form of sugar, yeah.
Yeah. You give it to anorexics.
Yeah. And they don't know they're being fed it.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, will you dispense the character sheets?
I would be glad to. Thank you, sir.
Tonight, Duncan will be portraying Kumail's character, Chris DeBerg.
Yeah, you're Chris DeBerg. You wrote the song Lady in Red and performed it.
Okay.
He's a human rogue thief. What is he, Spencer?
He's a human rogue.
Spencer, I love when you're in character.
Well, yeah.
I love it.
The thing is... The thing nobody realizes is I'm always a character.
You are. You're,
just switch it up. It's not funny. It's not meant to be funny. That's the honest truth. Not funny. Yeah,
Thank you.
It's not
that time it was funny.
It's not that you become a... When you start dungeon mastering, you don't become a different Spencer. You just become a more resonant. You become a little bit more mellifluous.
Yes, I do.
Can I carve a message into my skin for Kumail the next time?
Yeah. Yeah, do like fuck with him for sure.
Great.
I mean, there's a lot of like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's like phone jacking. Like
this is great.
Like whenever minutes. Aaron's not here, Jeff fucks something that Aaron owns.
It happened one time. Last time I fucked and murdered a spider.
That was fucking weird. And I mean, it was, I listened to that and it was like, that was as weird as I remembered it. A guy turned into a spider. Now, it was my fault, but and we brutalized it out of self-defense
but it attacked us, and then you
and
guys
then it
kept
was dying.
To, you guys kept trying to bring it back to life and make friends with it.
And you... I put a blanket over its
I
head
had violent
because I thought we were going to have kill it, and I was like, I'm sorry, we did this to you. You had sex with it and whispered in its ear, we're going to let you live.
But he did that while the spider was asleep.
But there was some circuitous conditional statement. You're like, we're gonna let you live, but
I'm gonna fuck you every night.
I'm gonna fuck you every night.
Yeah.
And then you killed it. Like you're like Ted Bundy.
I was putting. I was. It was a commentary on the chaos that had preceded that.
It was a commentary
We kept hurting it and then trying to save it, hurting it and trying to save it. So I fucked it, told it I was going to fuck it forever, and then
Dan, are we actually playing now?
You can call it a commentary. You became the BTK killer.
I'm a barbarian.
She's misunderstood.
I'm a barbarian, Dan. I'm whimsical. All right, Spencer, if you would get us up to speed.
When we last met, our heroes were following the mysterious wanderer Breffy into a web-slung stand of black pillars on the mysterious and dark Shadow Plane. Immediately after fleeing a forest fire set off by Sharpie's fireball, the wizard blasted the new webby obstacle to shreds with a second fireball.
Sorry.
Upon doing this, Breffy fell to his knees and began shapeshifting into a monstrosity. After a brief discussion, the gang left into action. Mulrain fired arrows and Quark detached three limbs with a single critical strike. Then a monkey was summoned, or a fiendish ape or something. Chris DeBerg sued the savage Breffy, who surrendered rather anticlimactically.
Feeling the intense bloodlust from the unsatisfying and peaceful end of combat, the barbarian expressed himself in the only way he could: violence and sexual deviance. After promising the clearly unconscious shapeshifter his life would be spared, Quark drove his sword directly through the spider's skull, mid-coitus, bringing an end to his miserable, tormented life. But with their guide and the only ally they had on the shadow plane murdered, how would they recover their shadows and return home?
Spencer!
Yes! Shit.
I stand by my actions.
You were only cleaning up a mess I made. I experienced the, you know, I was feeling like we had been moving too slowly. Like I started casting fireball everywhere.
Yeah, you were willy-nilly.
It made sense given the circumstances. You wouldn't have known. You know, there you were trying to make momentum. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Shut up. Okay, so what's the state of affairs around us right now?
Well, right now I should at first mention, Sharpie, you're out of level 3 spells. So you have level 1 and 2 spells left, but you have to, like, sleep a whole night before you regain your level 3 spells.
But I'm level 5.
That's true.
I don't have any level 5 spells?
No, it's weird. It's like you...
You're weird.
I would never deny that.
The answer to your question, Greg is never.
What?
I said the answer to your question is never.
Thank you.
Never.
Okay. Sorry, there's never. Only two answers. Once,
well, <'cause laughs>
if you're in the Navy, and two, never.
That was one of those moments where no one else is thinking the same thing you are. Well, because you asked when we were starting, and I was sitting here nervous that you were unhappy.
Never.
So that's
no, I'm not unhappy at all. I'm ecstatic.
Oh, did you have a hard out? Did you need to go?
No.
No, okay. No. Sorry.
I'd adore to smoke some pot, but we'll wait.
Me too.
Thank you.
Thanks to the.
If we had a vaporizer, we could do it right indoors.
Great.
Thanks to the young woman who played Mulrain last week. It was great.
She fired two arrows.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, all right. Sorry.
What was your name again, young lady?
Stephanie.
Yeah, thank
you, Stephanie.
Fired two arrows and.
Correct.
All right, Spencer, I examine the surroundings.
Standing in the burned ruins of the Ebon Thicket, you survey your surroundings. The burned webs are slick and shiny on the remains of the crumbled pillars, burnt by spent fireballs. You've created a pretty large clearing from all the fire, and where before was a large vision-obscuring barrier of webbing, you can now see clearly. And through the gap, you can see a ripply waving mass, far off in the distance. But to the south, you hear the approaching of hooves.
Oh, shit. Tylenol with codeine, what are you doing here?
Well, then I go from rags to
riches. By the flaming balls of Kathy Lee Gifford. Once again, I find myself in your company, for my entire forest has been decimated. Burned to the ground, says I. What villains are these who would come to my homeland, the place where I was foaled, the place where my horn did grow? I am, of course, a unicorn and therefore immortal, but the place where I did once stride upon my four legs, unbelievably, has now been rendered useless, and I find myself in another dimension, this one with you. Greetings, hail, and salutations, says I. Word up. Yo, pretty ladies around the world. I see that thou art gathered, and thou art still as ugly and hunchhead as I remembered. Whilst I remain beautiful, pristine, white, with a golden horn that spiraleth toward the heavens.
Tylenol, how come ye to the shadow plane?
The shadow place I must cometh to, in order that the place where I am frometh is burned fucketh down.
I feel like I might have done that.
To be serious?
It was an accident.
Thou art my brother. Did we not swear?
I swore. I didn't. We're on a shadow plane. I think I cast fireball, and I think things we do here made affect other places. I made a poo-poo.
Surely 'twas not malfeasance on thine part.
I.
You will find that within a unicorn beateth two things. One, a member extravagant and wild. And two, a heart that encompasseth all. Forgiveness I bestow upon all of thee for aww, destroying the land I am from.
Thank you.
Tylenol, we've lost our shadows. Our shadows are ripped apart from us and they've ran off into the middle darkness.
The fuck thou say?
The fuck I don't say.
Shadows not have thee?
No, we're in the shadow plane. They up and ran.
Inconvenient most I find this. Even in the brightness of thine noonday, find thou no shadow to follow thee upon the ground?
No.
Guys, I don't feel good. I don't feel like myself.
Krista
right
Berg,
now.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't really. I think I have some form of amnesia. Perhaps in this battle, something happened to me because I have this compulsion at this moment to start slicing off my own fingers.
Oh my God!
don't do it.
Oh, Jolie Evangelina from the 90s. Thou art but a cutter.
Yes, it's cutting, you know? I want to carve. I mean, I'm going to just show you guys. I can't get this thought out of my mind. I'm just going to carve it into my arm, and then we'll get back to find our shadows. So I pull out my dagger, wipe the poison off, and I carve into my arm.
Wipe that poison dagger.
Yeah. I carve into my arm. Something very strange that doesn't make sense probably to any of us. I carve into my arm. How can you have a video game podcast and not play StarCraft 2?
Wow.
Wow. That's some strange cryptic...
I don't know what it means. I just wanted to do it.
Parochial thy vent. I have horn plus 11 and 1d8 plus 10 damage. Can I help in that respect?
You could stab him with your horn. It wouldn't help. It would hurt.
Stab me with your horn, unicorn!
Since thou demandeth it, shall I? Yes.
Yeah.
Snorf.
Ow!
Snorf is the noise that maketh when my horn doth stabbeth into thine.
No.
Sharp.
Can I... May
somehow
I?
Satisfying.
Honing for many days have I been.
Me too.
Chris, may I offer up my bedroll and some flint and steel so you may write a note?
No, I already carved it into my arm.
The damage
it's there.
Is
I could use a bandage. I'm bleeding a little bit, but it's there. I think it's going to scar permanently. That's on me permanently.
You guys, stop. This shadow plane is driving us insane.
Spencer, how far off is that shimmering, wavy thing up ahead?
It's about 50 feet away. There's a couple pillars in front of it obscuring it, but it's mostly in plain view.
I hop astride Tylenol with Codeine, and I say, on Tylenol. To the shimmery mass.
Oh, barbarian, thou hast mounted me once again. And fulfilled do I feel. Prance, prance, toward the light doeth I. Follow closely, shall ye, even you with moderate wounds, that I shall heal because I have the...
Don't heal, doesn't need healing.
Okay, fuck it.
Needs no healing, oh kind unicorn.
Oh, thou masochist, I will let thy wallow in thy pain. Skip, skip, and prance, and here we are.
You appear, or you head towards the undulating black barrier. It wavers and ripples slowly like a massive black ooze.
But I'll say.
But appears to be the ship.
Steady, boy, steady.
Steady.
But appears to be in the shape of a massive iron or wrought iron fence made out of thick, shifting shadows.
I shove my arm in it.
You shove your arm in it.
Sweet Maria.
Are you trying to kill Camille's character?
Oh, wow.
Your arm, like, into the shadow part or the space between the shadow
parts? Well, now I feel bad. I don't do it.
No, do it. Follow your
heart. I shove my arm into the shadow part.
You shove your arm into the shadow part, and it strikes with a clang.
Oh,
like
it's
metal.
It's metal.
It appears that. Or it sounds that way. It doesn't appear that way. It appears like shadows.
Hmm.
I shove my arm in 3 times, and it goes clang, clang, clang.
With a trolley. Ding, ding, ding with the bell. Zing, zing, zing.
Easy Tylenol, easy boy.
Not gay am I, but case not I make for it.
Silently, you see what appears to be several black tendrils shooting out of the ground beneath the wall. They connect with your feet and wrap up your arms and legs, and you feel yourself bound, you and Krista Berg.
Who in Krista Berg?
Quark and Krista Berg, the ones who shoved their hands through the fence there.
I'm trapped! Just kill me, unicorn!
Can't I use my dodge ability to get away from that?
Not in this case, because you were, like, reaching into it.
Oh, okay.
Don't I have any power in this instance?
You could stab someone with your horn.
Those shadows that doth beleaguer my friends, shall I poink my fucking horn at? Scrunch, scrunch. Take that, oh shadow. And fucketh off into the night, thee.
You strike the shadow, but it does not waver.
What the fuck? Bad unicorn luck, that.
So, Mulrain and Sharpie are seeing this happen. You know, about 30
Sharpie.
Feet away.
Yeah, right.
Happy polylogies.
Is Coco a shadow still? Is she nearby?
Yeah, Coco's still shadow, Coco. You're with her.
Coco's her horse, Greg.
Does Coco feel jealous of Tylenol with codeine? Jeff's paying codeine a lot of attention.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. but you wouldn't be able to know by looking.
Coco's my horse.
And I
dig.
Yeah, and I fucked her horse once or twice.
He raped my horse.
Jesus. To be sure.
All right, so it's a fence shaped thing that's like shadowy.
It's like a shadowy fence, and out of the bottom
of it. Can't get on the other side of it?
Well, I mean, you haven't.
Like, is it, how high is it?
It's 30 feet tall. There's a large gate set in it.
There's a large gate set in it?
Yeah.
But if I touch it, there's going to be tendrils on me.
I mean, you don't know that
for sure. You didn't say that.
Is this a time for the rope tracker?
What's up?
Is this a good time for my rope tracker?
Well, they are. It is a visible fence.
Oh, I see.
I'll tell you what it's time for.
Uh-oh.
What will soon be a new favorite among my spell things. Wait, you said I have...
No level 3 spells.
No level 3 spells?
Yeah, man, you run out of spells sometimes.
I motion
to
Sharpie.
You sleep for 8 hours. Sorry, what?
I'm sorry. I motion to Sharpie to ride over to the fence on Coco.
What do I have left?
You have all your level 1 and 2 spells, just not the level 3s.
Shit.
You get 3 of those per day.
Perhaps the shadow rope is susceptible to blood. I bite my own tongue and spit the blood at the shadow rope. Does it affect it at all?
Awesome thinking.
Okay.
For those of you keeping track at home, Krista Berg has now inflicted 18 points of damage on himself.
How many does he have left?
Wait, I don't want to die.
I would like to formally thank again the young woman who played me last week.
I, however, can cure moderate wounds.
That's don't true. Bother. There are other things to worry about.
Don't kill Kamal's character.
I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to drain him a bit. I've got 50 hit points. There's plenty left to spare.
All right, fuck it.
Sorry.
I love you.
It's a romantic comedy. I seem to have found a spell under level 1 called jump, jump, jump,
okay.
Jump, jump, jump,
casting jump,
jump.
Your
jump.
Legs are wrapped
over
in
30 feet of fence. Yow! Jump, 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 jump.
Go ahead and jump.
Right?
Over 30 feet of fence.
Over 30 feet of
fence. I see a 30 feet fence and standing there and there in front.
And it doesn't matter that you deprive me of spells from level 3. Ow, cause I'm gonna cast jump.
Jump.
Might as well jump.
Jump.
Over the fence.
Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings.
From the moment I met him, I fell. He said hello.
Yeah, that happens. You jump over the fence. You're now on the other side of the fence.
Yow!
Sharpie, can you hear me?
Yow!
Can you disentangle me and Krista Berg from these shadow tendrils?
You don't have to disentangle me. I'll just stay here. You guys go ahead.
Lady in red.
Well, I'm hoping that from the other side I can get the gate open.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I didn't want to touch it from the other side.
Yeah, good idea. Get to work, Jack.
What were you going to do there, Mulrain?
I was going to take my sack.
Mm-hmm. I detest when anyone even nibbles at my sack.
Steady.
I was going to take my sack and loop through some of my rope and create a shadow gate retriever.
Okay. Which does...
It gets anyone out of any kind of gate.
Uh-huh.
And I throw it at Chris.
Okay.
I also say, Chris, can I have some of your stuff?
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah, sure. I got. Let's see, hold on. You know what? Just take it all. You just take it all. It seems like I've got a... hold on a second. I'm sick
of said you were going to weaken him, not give away all your shit.
That's weak. I'm going to give you... Pick one thing. Pick the unicorn is sensitive. Pick one thing.
Of course I'm sensitive. I'm a unicorn.
You don't want any of my stuff?
What?
You don't want any of my stuff, Cody?
I
don't even know.
I am completed every moment.
I throw my sack over Chris.
It lands over Chris.
And I yank him out.
Well,
I try. I attempt to yank him out.
Fuck howdy.
See here. That's a weird thing to have happen. His neck doesn't snap. The bag slides off his head and, you know, nothing happens.
Right,
Sharpie, so are you at the gate, right?
Yeah, I go to that gate. So now, and I was thinking of casting Knock, but I can't tell because I think I lost one of my spell sheets.
Yeah, I must have lost it.
I can't tell if Knock is a level 2 spell.
Knock's a level two spell.
Okay. I was going to try to cast Knock on it without touching it. I don't want to touch this stuff. Does it knock open?
Yeah, yeah. With a loud knocking sound.
Knock, motherfucker!
The gate is blasted open.
Oh!
Immediately, Your binds are dissolved, and you can free your limbs again.
Thank God!
How?
But you hear a sound behind you, Sharpie, coming out of the, you know, the sound behind you. Words. Words are a thing.
I turn around and examine my surround bit behind me.
You see 6 shadowy humanoids approaching.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I hold my hand up in friendly greeting.
One of them holds their hand up. It appears to be the shape of a blade.
Wait, what?
One of them holds their hand up. It appears to be the shape of a blade.
One of them holds their hand up?
Yeah, what's your armor class?
Their hand... I'll answer that in 1 second. Uh-huh. You said their hand is the shape of a blade, like Ryan Reynolds' character from the Wolverine movie.
Like, yeah.
All right. Or they're just holding a sword.
Nah, it's the shape of a blade. It's like muted into a blade. Definitely muted into a blade. And it strikes you, dealing 12 damage.
Jesus.
My armor class, by the way, is 1,000,000.
I can cure medium wounds.
That's true. Definitely you can.
Can I, am I able to hide in the shadows?
You can try, definitely.
No, only Stevie Nicks is.
Not an insult.
You attempt to conceal yourselves in the shadows. Hopefully the shadowy figure.
I will cure you with my medium healing wound healing powers. Let me squat upon thine face. And dispense the mucus that does make one whole again.
Healing 19 hit points of damage.
Whoa! Wow. To me?
Yeah, that brings you back to full health.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Does anyone have a sheet on their stuff that has level 2 spells on
it? Are
that,
you fucking joking? I have a piece of fucking graphite paper here with me.
Not me.
How many of these shadow warriors are there?
There's 6 of them.
Oh. I fire 2 arrows. Thanks, guys. At this.
You know, now you can fire 3 arrows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
You got a magic bow.
Whoa! I fire 3 arrows. Duncan, it's been 2 hours for so long.
Wait, while she fires the arrows, I quickly use my knife to pry off 3 of my fingernails. And then I try to do a backstab on one of the shadow beings.
Do you hate Kumail Nanjiani?
I love Kumail. I don't like his character.
Oh, it would be
so
funny if
you
hated
Kumail. 2 of the arrows plant themselves in the figure, dealing 9 damage. At the same time, you attempt your backstab maneuver. But it doesn't seem to go as planned.
They smile in your face all the time. They won't take.
All right, what is the arrangement of these figures? Where are they standing in relationship to us?
There's about 3 that are up on Sharpie, and he's inside this gate, and you guys are outside this gate. And then there's 3 farther back.
Didn't he bust the gate open?
He did from the inside, but they're farther inside.
So, can I come through the gate?
Definitely.
Okay, I jump through the gate and take a and I do a flaming sword attack on the nearest figure.
That happens. Flaming sword, you charge directly towards the most menacing of the shadow shapes and slice an incredible slice across the dark foe, dealing some damage. Oh shit! Oh, that was almost off the table. Dealing 16 damage.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out what the non-conflict resolution of this encounter would have been.
The guy we brought you a shadow cake.
Yeah. The guy had a sword for a hand, right?
The lead shadow falls.
All I did was jump over his tendril-having shadow fence and open the door.
The rest of the shadows pour out. They actually flow past Sharpie and directly towards Mulrain and Chris.
May I summon a magical beast?
After this, you can.
Can I apologize?
Can I kick some mighty fucking dick?
All of those things can happen in due time, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get some attack rolls out of the way. It'll be a blast.
Are you okay?
No.
What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm having the best time, objectively. Anyway, 2 of the shadow creatures approach Mulrain and Chris and strike deadly blows on their arms and legs with their bladed limbs, dealing some damage. Oh shit! Mulrain takes 15 damage, and Christaberg takes 9.
Oh.
The other 2 shadows, one of their limbs become hazy and smoky like hazy and smoke. And their limbs, and the smoke that they they have for their now limbs flows directly into the throat of a Quark. As if attempting to strangle him, you feel a dark presence invade your body.
Won't be the last time.
No shit. Not with that costume on.
You feel yourself choking and like it's getting harder to move, but otherwise you're not affected. And I mean, you're choking, but yeah.
All right. Can I respond to that, or do I?
Who moved first? I think this is Moraine's turn now.
I summon magical beast.
Okay, so you can summon some sort of magical beast with that
shadow
spell.
Eater.
Nope. Close. Let's edit this out. This whole thing.
Squid.
She can't summon a squid. That's the thing. Dire rat, eagle, monkey, octopus, owl, porpoise, snake, wolf.
Porpoise. Summon the porpoise. Summon the porpoise.
You guys always want aquatic creatures to be summoned to terrestrial space. You're like a 4chan message board. Like, you just want to see suffering. You just want to watch a creature die in front of you.
You can imagine that without us doing anything. It's not visually happening.
Because this creature reads to me as the most fearless and maniacal, I summon the monkey.
Nice.
With a snap of your fingers and a wave of your arms, a monkey leaps into existence.
Cover me when I sleep. Cover me. Nobody? Peter Gabriel?
Don't okay. You know you gotta...
He appears as he's, like, jumping through the air.
Yeah, he jumps, like, he dissolves into existence, jumping directly onto one of the shadow creatures and is now on his head trying to, like, beat him or, like, pummel him or rip his hair out. But it's not going so well. He's not doing any damage.
I'm sorry. It tickles me.
I remember my first time summoning a monkey.
I was 13 the first time I summoned the monkey.
Oh, boy.
I was in the bathroom. My mom was like, get out of there. And I was like, what are you doing?
I yell out encouragingly, go, Marbles, go!
Marbles?
That happens. Yeah, that happens. It's Chris's turn.
Go, Marbles, go.
Marbles.
Is our goal to delight these foes into a submission?
Does he have clothes?
Does he have a little hat on?
Do you have clothes on?
Yeah, put a birthday hat on him. Just have him dance around. Maybe
I just love the juxtaposition of Spencer in a bad mood, so serious, and having to say, you summon a monkey. He appears.
I'm not in a bad mood, you guys.
No, I know. I'm sorry, Spencer.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
It's okay.
So what did the monkey do to the shadow things?
He didn't do any damage.
Well, he delighted them.
He delighted them.
Yeah, it certainly was entertaining.
They
for
called
all of
their
us.
Wives and told them that they loved their wives, their shadow wives. That's what happened.
I'm watching an ape named Marbles try to attack me. I just wanted to make sure you're okay, darling. I'll be home after 8.
So it's Chris's turn. That's Duncan.
Oh, sorry. Well,
I eat a high cholesterol breakfast.
I burn my bridges.
Have we hurt any of these things at all? Like how are
I knocked one down, right?
So one. Yeah, you cut one down. It's not moving.
It's not moving. So I go to that being and try to give him CPR. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. Do we have maybe we should run? Does it seem like we can run, you guys? Why don't we just run?
Jump upon my back, all of ye, yeah, and you on Coco and whatnot.
And I could throw my blinding bombs at the shadow beast, and then we'll just get the fuck out of here.
Most of that plan is good, other than the fact that like only two people can fit on a unicorn.
I'm not running. Yeah. I've been running my whole life.
I'll stay behind as a distraction. You guys go.
Leave him, he is too slow, for he is Kamal's character, and shall live to die another day.
Well, we have Shadow Coco too, right?
So that's four people. Yes.
Fucking let's do it.
I'm not running!
Why?
I feel a monologue coming on.
Jump upon my back. Be not shy.
What if Hitler had run from...
World War II would have been 6 months instead of 5.5 years.
He did. He killed himself.
First example off the top of my head, wrong one to grab.
Okay, shitty example.
What if everyone Hitler fought had run?
Then there would have
what
been...
if George Washington ran from the Delaware?
Then the Hessian...
What if dirt ran from itself? the sky would be made of dirt.
He's right.
What if?
He's right. He's right. We should stay and fight these invincible shadow beings. He's right.
Marbles the monkey out. After Marbles, do I have any fucking powers here that I can?
You can stomp on people. You can stab people with your horn.
Watch me fucking work. Let's go rodeo on these dicks.
All right.
So you want to stab them?
Honey, I want to do everything I can to get out of this.
Great groups,
if
everybody.
If he ain't gonna run, then I'm gonna kick ass.
Spencer.
What's up? Oh, I'm just resolving an attack real quick. Hold up, you guys.
Terrific.
You deal. Charging towards one of the shadowy foes, you strike him directly with your horn, dealing 16 damage.
Nice.
That is precisely what I'm talking about.
What?
Mic bump.
Bump.
Was there a question?
So how many foes are
Let
left
me know
now?
When it's my turn.
There's still five.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, I didn't get to throw my blinding bombs.
That's true. I thought you changed your mind up.
I did. I could still throw the...
You could throw all sorts of stuff, man.
Oh,
throw
okay.
Throw the blinding bombs and then let's kick ass.
So I throw to create a distraction. I take just like one small hit from one of my vials of acid and throw three smoke bombs. Do I throw three blinding bombs at the shadow beasts?
Throwing three blinding bombs at the feet of the shadow beasts.
This is like a euphemism that a drunk uncle would use at Thanksgiving.
Let me throw one of my blinding bombs on you. This is the worst Thanksgiving ever. I feel hurty.
That's just the blinding bombs. I don't know what's happening.
Spencer, if we lose you, we're fucked.
What is happening? Blinding bombs. Yeah, no, they work. The people are blind now.
What? Oh.
Jump upon my back and Coco's back and let's fucketh off.
I'm not running.
It's not running. It's called... galloping. Discretion is the better part of valor. Be not thyself proud. Love hath no pride when I call out your name.
And where will we go? To a place where there's no more shadow people with swords for hands?
Jesus, yes. Fuck, you burned my forest to the ground, you cocksucker. Can't you fucking jump on my back and run with me for a while?
Is it possible, though, that these shadows, if we vanquish these shadow people, that we'll get our shadows back? That maybe they're the embodiments of our shadows in some way? Or no, are they just guardians of like
makes sense to me in a lazy Katzenbergian way.
You are looking at them, they don't seem like they look like your shadows, but that still might be the case.
Can I give Marbles some of my arrows?
Would you toss them to her?
It's a she. I
Whoa. You thought Marbles was a guy?
I did. I did. I thought he was a plucky little fellow. Yeah. I give Madam Marbles 5 of my arrows, and I say, "What? You know what to do with these." The idea being that Marbles is going to take those arrows and stab the shadows in the head. Mm-hmm. He's gonna because Marbles is very agile, and he's a monkey.
She's a monkey.
That's true.
But she identifies as male gender-wise, but her sexuality is female.
What's happening? Arrows?
Marbles is going to try to stab 5 shadows with 5 arrows.
Marbles has something to prove.
As it happens, Marbles doesn't have anything to prove. Anyway, you give her the arrows, but she doesn't seem very confused. What is happening?
A good time.
Yeah.
Okay, so Marbles doesn't have anything to prove. So, side question, with these magical beasts, do they have no wants, or they're just fucking animals?
Ask
or do they have personalities?
And, I don't know. You can't.
Well, you just told me how Marbles felt.
That I said she didn't have anything to prove.
Yeah.
That's a possession? Something to prove, right? You possess something to prove.
Well, I was thinking, like, I don't know, like Marbles' parents said, hey, Marbles, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never murder a shadow creature.
Well, it brings up an interesting question. When we summon these beasts, where do they come from?
They come from an alternate plane, actually, yeah.
Where they're just hanging out?
Yeah. Well,
so they have lives of their own?
Yeah, well, yeah, they have, and then they get pulled through, and then they're confused, and they attack whatever looks the most threatening.
So Marbles might have had something to prove, maybe. But you're saying that Marbles doesn't.
I'm saying, you know, I'll redact that, Spencer, and say that Spencer, there's no way of knowing.
Should I fuck Marbles?
Yes. I God, no!
Let's make sure that Marbles has something to prove.
I'm only asking. I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm saying, should I or should I not fuck Marbles?
I can't say what you should or shouldn't do.
Can I say something?
Yes.
If you're going to fuck the monkey,
yes.
Will you fuck me first?
Yes!
All right.
Yes! I will sever my emotional ties with Marbles.
You know what? Actually, fuck me after you fuck the monkey.
Why waste a chance to get extra dimensional AIDS?
Well, yeah.
But right now, Krista Berg, I like where you're going with this, but right now we dazzled these shadow figures. They're blinded right now.
Yep.
That's the time to fuck, my man. Look, I'm hard as a fucking diamond right now.
Me too.
I would like to cast Charm Person on one of the shadow creatures when it's my turn. Because it's a level one spell. Charm Person.
It has no effect.
I go into a barbarian rage. I go into a berserk rage. Okay. I jump astride Marbles. And I take out my far sword and I go, on Marbles! And we run towards him. And taking out my far sword, I hold it out like a clothesline and try to slice through all of them like I'm cutting down them all like a bunch of trees.
How big do you think Marbles is?
I was... 5'5"?
Hey, make Ryan size.
I guess I could have done a better job. I was always thinking of Marbles as like a marmoset size. Like, so
okay,
even for
okay,
a
okay, okay, okay. First off, forget Marbles. I jump astride Tylenol. I go, Tylenol, it's you and me, baby.
Let's roll.
I jump astride Tylenol's back in a berserker rage, and I grab a fistful of mane, and I pull Marbles toward me, and I go, we're going to go in there. Two separate people, but we're coming out one
fucked monkey.
And I give him a little spur, a little boot into his haunches, and I go on, and I unsheathe my far sword and try to slice down the shadow figures.
Okay, so all of this is happening, but you're still being like strangulated by that shadow.
Oh fuck! I forgot about that.
That's still, you know, you're choking, but this stuff can still be happening.
Okay.
So with your far sword strike, you attempt to attack as many of the shadow creatures as you possibly can.
At a full gallop astride Tylenol with codeine.
At a full gallop astride Tylenol with codeine, you unleash a far sword blast directly towards the shadow creatures. Hitting merely two of them.
Oh, cock.
That's still good. That's still good. I don't know why I framed it that way.
Yeah, two is good.
Two's great, you guys. Dealing 11 damage and 17 damage. One of the shadows falls, slain. The other is still standing. You're faced with four. You might want to cover time there. 10:03.
Might want to what?
Oh, he's saying we're never going to finish this fight. Well,
yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah, well, I say we end on a bang. We take let's pick one of them and knock this.
Well done, barbarian! Look at those that you have slain and the others that are still standing.
Wait, does this mean the game's about to end?
Chris, do you have a sword I can have?
Do I have hair?
Yeah, you have hair.
Okay, before the game ends, with my dagger, I cut all my hair off. All of it's gone. I just swipe trunks with my dagger.
Do you want?
And then I give you my take my hair cutting dagger.
Oh, well, thank you. I was just kidding, but
I freeze time and do a crazy rap.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Superfly, honey to the money, motherfucker. Put your mama down and I started to pucker. Put her in the field and in the sky. I fucked your mama so low, fucked your mama high. I'm sorry.
In the background to this rap, keep going, keep rapping. In the background, I take Kristen Berg's hand and pull him off into the shadows.
Yes.
Yo.
Take me.
Yo. 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 I rap over them as they conjugate like Richard Gere and Guinevere in First Night.
And I pull him out of the shadows so everyone can watch.
Okay.
Except instead of Sean Connery, instead of stabbing a sword into the dirt, am I getting my Arthurian movies mixed? I just watch them fuck. And I rap over them, which is what King Arthur didn't do. Yeah, 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 yeah. I like the shape of your ass thrusting in and out. I like the way your dimples like to pout. Like to look at your manly calves. Like to look at both male halves coming together to form androgyny. I like to witness sexual heterogeny. I like to see a wiener go into a butt. I like to look at it. But I like to also participate, so I'm going to drop my pants and masturbate. I'm going to spread my seed onto the dirt. And where I come from, that's called starting to flirt.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. We did it.
That was a rapping closer. Thanks for...
Thank you.
That was a bit of an epic...
How about a round of applause for Greg Proops, everyone? Duncan Trussell, Aaron McGaffey, Spencer Crittenden, and of course everybody here at Meltdown Comics for making this the best place to do a podcast in the world. I'm your comptroller, Jeff Davis. Thank you very much. One more time for your mayor, Dan Harmon. We will try and watch the abominable Dr. Fibes this week and get back to you, Marcy. Yeah. And we're still Monday nights until further notice, until we move to Sundays. Someone put their character sheet in the ice bucket? What the fuck? Thank you for coming, everybody. We love you all dearly.